Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Deita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Deita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So, Sri Nrisingha Deva ki jai, Nrisingha Avirbhava Hotsava ki jai. I thought to speak something about Lord Chaitanya and the Mayavadis. Speak about, mainly I just want to read and comment from Chaitanya Charitamrita. My immediate inspiration for this is a seminar which was given by His Grace Ravindra Sarup Prabhu many years ago, decades ago, called Defeating Mayavadi Philosophy, I think. You know it? It's still available. It's online. ISKCON Desire Tree. You all know this. ISKCONDesiretree.com or .org, whatever it is. You go to audio, and then you go to Prabhu's K through R, or something like that. And then you find Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, and then you find seminars, and then you'll find, yeah. I recommend, it's about 24 lectures he's given, so he goes quite into depth. And he discusses from different perspectives, beginning with Chaitanya Charitamrita, but then he also talks about Western philosophy, because one of his points that he makes is that nowadays you meet people with some philosophy, when you talk with them about Krishna consciousness, they say, well, yes, but I think, and then they start, and off we go. And it's usually within about 2 minutes you find out that basically they're Mayavadi. But where did they get their Mayavada from? They didn't get it from Shankaracharya. They got it mostly from some filtered, some watered down form of Plotinus, for example. They may have gotten it through Aldous Huxley, who got it from, somebody who got it from somebody who got it from Plotinus. Pretty much the root of what we would call Mayavada, or more broadly, impersonalism, comes from that side, from 3rd century, 4th century, I don't remember now. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. I just thought, let's look a bit in our own Vaishnava tradition at how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as meeting the sannyasis in Varanasi. Anyone here has ever been to Varanasi, otherwise known as Banaras? Yes? Yeah? Banaras is a kind of hotbed of Mayavad, Shankara. Followers of Shankara, followers of other such traditions. And when I visited there some years ago, there's a small ISKCON temple, preaching center, valiantly preaching against all of that. That's actually, yeah, to preach in Varanasi, that's something. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to and from, I think it was both. He was on his way from Puri to Vrindavan, and he met, I always get mixed up which one he met where, but he met Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami in Varanasi and Allahabad, which wasn't called Allahabad at that time. He gave his instructions to them. And while he was in Varanasi, he met one of his own disciples, Tapan Mishra, or follower. There's a debate. Did Lord Chaitanya actually have disciples formally initiated by him? And there are different theories. And some say, well, actually, he only had one disciple, and that is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Guess who says that? The followers of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Yeah. Anyway, that's another subject, but so Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi, and he, of course, this is after he has taken sannyas. He has already traveled around South India. He's come back to Puri, and all this time he's wanted to go to Vrindavan, but for various reasons he hasn't managed to go. And so now he's finally on his way to Vrindavan. And there in Varanasi, he is, as he does everywhere, he's chanting Hare Krishna, and he's feeling great bliss in his chanting of Hare Krishna, and he's having kirtan with others, with devotees. And then the news comes that the local sannyasis are not at all pleased with what Lord Chaitanya is doing, because they feel embarrassed. They feel embarrassed. Why embarrassed? Because we're sannyasis, he's a sannyasi. He's supposed to be one of us. And what do we do? What do sannyasis do? They sit very quietly in a larger group, and what do? They discuss Vedanta. We discuss Vedanta. We do not go out on the street and act like crazy people, singing and dancing. We don't do such things. And you are misrepresenting us by doing this Hare Krishna. You joined the Hare Krishna movement. That's all right, but don't, you know, you're a sannyasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from whom? Keshava Bharati. Keshava Bharati is...
Hare Krishna, we have one car has to be removed. It's always like this. Yeah, best would be. A blue Polo VW. It's a EBG 420. Blauer Polo, Deutsch, EBE G 420. Bitte fahr dein Auto da weg. Please remove your car. And maybe someone knows this car, blue Polo, and knows the owner and can give it further. Need to be removed because someone wants to leave and cannot.
Okay. Thank you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru was Keshava Bharati, which means he was of the Bharati club of sannyasis. And there is a system in India of followers of Shankaracharya that is called Dasanami Sannyasa. There are 10 names, which are like different schools or sub-schools, you could say, of sannyas. And one of these is Bharati. Another is Sarasvati, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati gave himself that title because he took sannyas himself, by himself, sitting in front of a picture of his Guru Maharaj, Śrīla Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, because he felt there was no one around who was qualified other than his Guru Maharaj to give him sannyas. So, yes. So there's Bharatis, there's Sarasvatis, there's Puri, there's Tirtha, there's, I think, Vana is one of them, Ashrama. There's 10 names. So he was initiated by a Bharati, and after he took sannyas, he went to Puri soon after that, and he met Sarvabhaumabhattacharya. Sarvabhaumabhattacharya was a householder, but very revered as a very learned pundit. In fact, he's one of the, you can say, founder acharyas of a particular intellectual tradition called Navanyaya. In any case, so when Lord Chaitanya came, he was, you know, just a young kid. He was 24 years old. And he had taken sannyas. And he took sannyas from a Bharati? Why did you take from a Bharati? For Sarvabhaumabhattacharya, this was a lower class of sannyasis. You know. Anyway, you know, we're going to teach you. Let me teach you some Vedanta. Let's get you up to speed on philosophy, and then we'll see what we can do. Maybe we get some reinitiation for you or something. Yeah, back in those days, even then, they were talking about such things. Anyway, that was years before. Now he's in Varanasi, and the sannyasis there are saying, "What are you doing? You're embarrassing us with all your carrying on out there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." You know, what will people think of us? And so they kind of we have a saying in English. They called him in on the carpet. Yeah, you have that. Yeah. So they called him in to explain himself. You know, what are you doing? But when he came in to their assembly, and this is according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, who has written the Chaitanya Charitamrita, everyone was astonished because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so effulgent. And so although they may have been ready to say, you know, what are you doing, embarrassing us, instead they were like, Maharaj, can you please tell us, you know, what are you doing? They were very respectful. And Mahaprabhu says, yes, I can explain. And then he explains to them that, he said, I was initiated, my spiritual master gave me this mantra, and he told me to just chant this mantra, so I started chanting it, and I became kind of carried away with it, and I thought, what am I doing wrong? So I went back to my guru, and I asked him, what am I doing wrong? And he said, you're not doing anything wrong, you're doing everything right. Keep doing it. keep chanting. And he said, you are not qualified to do anything else except chant Hare Krishna. Forget about Vedanta, just chant Hare Krishna. So that's what I do. And as a result, I feel so blissful. I'm sorry. And he preaches a little about the holy name, and then he starts going into the subject of Vedanta. I'll start with verse 97 of Adi Lila, chapter 7. Krishna-name je ananda shindu ashadano brahmananda tara age khato dakshamo. Compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss that one tastes by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization, Brahmananda, is like the shallow water in a canal. Now, I'm going to do something which is, some may think is not proper, but I'm doing it anyway for a purpose. I'm skipping over Prabhupada's purports. You can read these purports. He explains many, many details, many important points in these purports. But what I want to do is try to get the thread of the story. And to do that, you need to read one verse after another. And I suggest you can also do that with all of Prabhupada's books. Not that you forget about the purports, but sometime you read the whole chapter and then you go back and read purports. That can be very helpful. Next verse he quotes from a work called Hari Bhakti Sudodhaya. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. And that's a well-known expression. Calves' hoof prints, not very big, not very difficult to cross over. Oh no, there's a puddle of water here. It's as big as a calf's footprint. What do I do now? No problem. Prabhu mishtabakya shuni shannashiragana chitta piri gela kahe madura bachana. After hearing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Mayavadi sannyasis were moved, their minds changed, and thus they spoke with pleasing words. So in this verse it says, mishtavakya, sweet words. Lord Chaitanya was speaking very sweetly, and they were charmed by his words. I think this is a nice lesson for us also when we are preaching. The word preaching is not a popular word, by the way, in modern, in America at least. I don't think it's popular in Europe either. Because preaching sounds like somebody's trying to persuade me of something that I do not want to be persuaded of. Right? We use it in a different sense. It's the glorious activity of distributing the glories of the Lord. But we have to be careful how we do it. We have to be careful not to burn people. I heard a burnout story today, which is very unfortunate. But that's another subject. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words were mishta, very sweet. যে কিছু কহিলে তুমি সবসত্য হই কৃষ্ণ প্রেম সে ভাই যার ভাগ্যোদয়। Dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what you have said is all true. Only one who is favored by fortune attains love of Godhead. Now, you and I may wonder, did they really say that? Here are these hardcore Mayavadis. And here they are, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, they're saying, yes, actually, someone with good fortune will appreciate the holy name. Well, I would say there are all kinds of Mayavadis. One time I was in Puri, and Puri is one of four major headquarters of the Shankaracharya headquarter mats. There's one in Puri, one in South India, one in Dwarka, one in Badrik Ashram. What is it called? Badrinath, yeah. So I had heard there's this Shankara Mutt in Puri, and this is some years ago. One day I thought, I'm going to go check it out. So I took a japa walk. I don't know, I asked. I found out where it was, and I went. And the front gate was open. There were no people in the courtyard. I just kind of was wandering in, and I sort of found my way into a temple. They had a temple. I don't remember which deity. I have to Shiva, I think. And then as I was kind of wandering out, I saw that there was a whole crowd of people. It was a fairly large compound, and off of the compound there was a public hall, and there were many people in this hall, and someone was speaking, and they were speaking Hindi, and I just walked by slowly and was kind of listening, you know, what is this Mayavad philosophy they're preaching? But it's in Hindi, and my Hindi is not, it's pretty minimal, but I could follow enough to know that he was telling some Krishna Leela. Yeah, I think it was Damodar Leela. He was, you know, as we talk about Lord, so they were talking Damodar Leela. And for them, that's no problem. Wait a minute, I thought they're taking it all as Maya. Yeah, yeah, it's all Maya. It's all illusion. It's all ultimately illusion, but for all practical purposes. Vyavaharika. Avastha, it's called. We can relish. And then by engaging in bhakti, we can eventually, so they say, come to jnana. And from that position, then no more need to serve Krishna. Ooh, yeah, this is what they say. I'm simplifying because a real card-carrying Mayavadi will probably say, no, 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 you guys got it all wrong. It's not like that. And then they will tell you some very, very complicated explanation about how the word Maya means, how Maya is anirvachaniya. We cannot determine whether Maya is real or not real. Yeah, you cannot say it's either real or not real, and so on like that. Well, let's go back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't want to scare you. Atta shuni hashi prabhu balila bachana dukkana manaha jodi kori nibedano. After hearing the Mayavadi sannyasi speak in that way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled slightly and said, my dear sirs, if you don't mind, I can say something to you regarding Vedanta philosophy. Okay, so now begins his speech. Okay, it seems like it missed the Bengali here. What did I miss? Okay, that's number two. Sorry, I'm just getting myself fixed here. Okay, verse 103. Ihashuni bale sarvashanya shiragana tomake dakiya jaiche shakat narayana. Hearing this, the Mayavadi sannyasis became somewhat humble and addressed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayana himself, who they all agreed he was. Now there's two things going on here. At least two. One is, we understand, yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Narayana himself. Supreme Personality. Godhead. They were understanding this in a different way. They were understanding that anyone who takes sannyas is immediately elevated to being Narayana. Figure that out. Yeah, you can become Narayana. Just get one of these sticks, put on some saffron and cloth, and you can be Narayana. But then, who is Narayan for them? Narayana is Ishvara, who, as I said, is within the sphere of Maya. In Sattva-guna, Sattva-guna-Maya, okay? So, Narayan's way up there at the top. You can't go higher than Narayana and still be an individual being. Because beyond that, what is there? There is Brahman only. And Brahman, how many are there in Brahman? There is one only. Ekameva advitiya, there is one without a second. Well, there's two ways of understanding that. Okay. No? This thing jumps back at me. It's not doing what I want. Okay, 103, 104. Let's go here. Tomar vachana shuni judai shravana tomar madhuri daki judai noyono. Dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, to tell you the truth, we are greatly pleased to hear your words, and furthermore, your bodily features are so pleasing that we feel extraordinary satisfaction in seeing you. So the situation is good for Lord Chaitanya to speak, because now they're open to listen. And that's what's been essentially described in the last several verses. I didn't start in the beginning of that. Tomar prabhave shobar anandita mana kabu asangata nahe tomar bachana. Dear sir, by your influence, our minds are greatly satisfied, and we believe that your words will never be unreasonable. Therefore, you may speak on the Vedanta Sutra. Okay, now we begin. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking on Vedanta. Prabhu kahe Vedanta sutra ishara vachana basharupe koila jahashi narayana. The Lord said, Vedanta philosophy consists of words spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in the form of Vyasadeva. Okay, now this is something that we might feel not very surprised about, because that's what we always hear. The Vedas are spoken by, or they come originally from Narayana. And what is Vedanta? It is the end of Veda. And here he seems to be alluding to, yeah, that's in the purport, to a particular work called Vedanta Sutra. And he's saying that Vedanta Sutra has been written by Vyasadeva. And who is Vyasa? Vyasa is Narayana. So we may say, okay, so what else is new? We know this. But for followers of Vedanta, practitioners of Vedanta, outside of Vaishnava traditions, especially our tradition, this may not be taken for granted. There is a technical term here, and that is apurusheya. Apurusheya, which is the opposite of purusheya. And purusheya comes from the word purusha. Purusha means person, often translated as male person. So apurusheya means not of a person, not related to a person. And traditionally, in particular, according to Mimamsa philosophy, the Veda is apurusheya. It has not been originated from any person, neither ordinary folks nor by a supreme person. They will say that the Vedas are self-manifest. They have always existed. They may be written down because different Vedic hymns from the Rig Veda are said to be composed. But they say, no, they're not composed by different rishis. Rather, the rishis have seen a Vedic hymn and then they have related. They don't write the hymns down, they speak them, and they're memorized. And so they say, Veda is eternal, and that means not coming from the Lord. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, let's get one thing straight. And that is that the Vedas are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta of Vaishnavas will still say, they will agree with the Mimamsakas and say that the Vedas are apurusheya. They are not from a person, but what the Vaishnavas understand by person is by an ordinary person, by someone other than the Supreme Person. So it's just good to know that this machine is... I don't know how to... Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just turn this off, and that will stop. Yes. Okay, so Vedanta philosophy. So here he's referring to Vedanta Sutra, also known as Brahma Sutra, sutras sometimes. And this is a book consisting of very, very short aphorisms in Sanskrit, very compact. Approximately 550 sutras are there. And these sutras are so compact that to understand them, one needs commentary. To just read the sutras by themselves are not very illuminating, even for someone who knows Sanskrit very well. And so commentary is very important. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to say, he's saying, actually, Vedanta Sutra is very easy to understand if you take it the right way. But you people are taking it in an indirect way, And that's what makes it all problematic. Okay. Some of Prabhupada's purports in this section are rather long because he's explaining lots of points. Okay. Verse 107. Brahm pramad vipralipsa karana pato ishare bakke nahi dosha eshab. The material defects of mistakes, illusions, cheating, and sensory inefficiency do not exist in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upanishat shahita sutra kahe jetata mukya vritye she artha parama mahato. The absolute truth is described in the Upanishads and Brahma Sutra. But one must understand the verses as they are. That is the supreme glory in understanding. Okay, now, someone who is not at all familiar, who doesn't know any, never heard anything about Veda, Upanishads, any of this, will say, what are you people talking about? What is all this? What is this Veda? What are these books? Who cares what it says in these books? We don't care. We read the newspaper. maybe Christians say we follow the Bible, and so on. The different religious traditions will say, but Veda, never heard of it. But Veda has been understood. Let's make it historical. From the time of Shankaracharya, and he's usually dated as late 8th century to early 9th century. From that time, it's been understood at least, and actually, of course, before, that Veda is some sort of final authority. But how to understand the Veda? And so we get into the question of interpretation. And this turns out to be one of the big topics of both Mimamsa and Vedanta. Sometimes Mimamsa is called Purva Mimamsa. Sorry for, I know some of you sort of, you hear all these technical terms and say, just save me that, okay? You know, I don't... Get to your point, will you? What's your point? Sorry, it's a result of hanging out in universities and such. Anyway, point here is that these two are related. There's one Purva Mimamsa, the other's Uttara Mimamsa. One is preliminary, the other is the later Mimamsa. And Mimamsa just means deliberation, analysis. And one thing that the two have in common is that they're both about how do we interpret this literature. And in fact, Vedanta is going to borrow some principles from Purva Mimamsa about how to interpret the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra. And this is the other point about sort of where their ways part, is the Purva Mimamsakas are interested in the Karma Kanda side of Veda. And the Uttara Mimamsakas, Vedantins, followers of Vedanta, they're interested in mainly the Upanishads. Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, and Bhagavad Gita. Somehow this was established by Shankaracharya that these three would be fair basis for understanding Vedanta. And it's surprising that Shankaracharya accepted the Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita it's just so thoroughly personalist that devotees wonder, how does he get some impersonalism? You know, how does he squeeze impersonalism out of the Bhagavad Gita? Well, you really have to try, but he manages it. Now, in this verse is another technical term, and that is mukhya vritti. There are two. There's mukhya vritti and there's gauna vritti. And there's a famous example. This will illustrate for you what this is about. There is an expression in Sanskrit which is gangayam gotra. Gangayam gosha. Gosha means village, and Ganga means the river Ganga. Yeah, the river Ganga. Gangayam means on the river or in the river. It's the locative form. Gangayam gosha. You're talking about a village on the river Ganga. How can there be a village on the river Ganga? That would be a village which floats away very quickly or sinks very quickly. That can't be right. Okay, so literal meaning, mukhya vritti is on the Ganga, but that doesn't make any sense. Therefore, we will take secondary meaning, that is called gauna vritti. And we'll understand that in this case, on the river means on the bank of the river. Yeah, okay. Village on the bank of the river. Makes sense, right? In Sanskrit aesthetics, they take it one step further. They say there is what is called dvani. Dvani means, it means vibration, but it also means suggestion. Poetry is not about literal meanings, and it's also not about indirect meanings. It's about suggestion. So this example again, Gangayam Gosha, what is the dvani understanding? It means, it indicates that there were cool breezes, because a village on the Ganga, there will be cool breezes. It doesn't say anything about cool, doesn't say anything about breezes, but Gangayam Gosha means cool breezes, according to this system of interpretation. Okay. I just noticed there's no more electricity coming here. That's not essential. I can manage some battery. So, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'm really into the mukhya vritti. I'm really into the direct meaning of things as far as possible. So, what's he going to say? Gauna vritte jeba bhasya korila acharjo tahara shravane nasha hoy sarvakarjo. Sripad Shankaracharya has described all the Vedic literatures in terms of indirect meanings. One who hears such explanations is ruined. Imagine this situation. These are all followers of Shankaracharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling them point blank, anyone who listens to what you've been listening to for I don't know how many years, you're ruined. I'm sorry. But he says it in such a nice way. Mishtavakya, so sweetly that they're, yes, we're ruined. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hastens to add, Taharanahikadosha isharagapaya gonartha korila mukya artha acharila acharya. Shankaracharya is not at fault, for it is under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he has covered the real purport of the Vedas. Sometimes Shankaracharya is called Channa Bodha, a covered Buddhist. Historians will also say that it may very well be the case that Shankaracharya was highly instrumental in the disappearance of Buddhism from India. By the time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in India in the early 16th century, Buddhism was practically entirely gone from India. Not utterly, because we do have reference to one. There's one episode, Lord Chaitanya met some Buddhists in South India. Some say that it was Shankaracharya's preaching that turned many people away from Buddhism to the Vedic system. And how he did it was very clever because, well, it's simplifying, but in a sense you can say that Shankaracharya, before him, that the Buddhists were saying, Shunyata, it is all emptiness. It is all, as Prabhupada would say, jiro. Zero, yeah. I mean, a real live, hard card-carrying Buddhist today, if you say shunyata means emptiness, zero, they will say, no, 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 you got it all wrong. It's not like that. But in any case, that's another subject. In one sense, what Shankaracharya did is said, well, instead of saying that the ultimate reality is zero, let's say that it's one. What's the difference between zero and one when considering the absolute reality with no distinctions, without any variety? If there's no variety and you call that one, and there's no variety and you call that zero, what's the difference? The difference is that if you follow Shankara, then at least you are following Veda, because Shankara honored the Vedas. For us, again, we may say, you know, what's the big deal? What's the difference? Or people in the public, people we meet, Veda, who cares? Zero, one, who cares? What's the difference? People don't. They don't know, here's the verse in the purport. They don't know themselves what they believe. They may be Mayavadi, but don't know it. And also, as Ravindra Swarup Prabhu points out in this seminar, Srila Prabhupada points out that Ravindra was wondering, why are you telling us all this about Mayavadis? That's because you are Mayavadi. Because there's Mayavada tendency is there in all of us, a tendency to depersonalize, to think that there may be something beyond Krishna. Mayavadam asachastram prachanam bodham ucchate mayaiva kalpitam devi kalo brahmana rupina. This is from Padma Purana, that Shankara, Shiva is telling Parvati, I will appear as Shankara in order to preach Mayavada philosophy as Buddhism, covered Buddhism. Yeah. All right, just a few minutes more, and then we can continue. I think we're scheduled for some more of this tomorrow. Let's see how many of you survive. Brahma shabde mukya arte kahe bhagavan chit aisharja paripurna anurdva shaman. According to direct understanding, the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has all spiritual opulences. No one can be equal to or greater than him. Now, up to this point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not quoting either Vedanta Sutra or the Upanishads. Because this is going to be always the first question of the Vedantists. What's your source? Where are you getting this from? What is the basis of your interpretation? These are like the ground rules for playing the game called Vedanta. One reason I should mention why I thought let's read a little of this is devotees, we tend to kind of skip over it, or we don't really spend much time with it. And I just like to remind that our founder, Acharya of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada, is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. He was given this name, Bhakti Vedanta, by his sannyas guru, Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj, to recognize him for his understanding, his knowledge of Vedanta as being Bhakti Vedanta, devotional Vedanta. And so this is a legacy that we all have, which we want to continue. And so we have these teachings as given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in so many purports of Srila Prabhupada, and of course so much in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, by the way, is interesting in this respect, because one of the early verses, chapter 2, verse 11, Vedanti tatvavidas tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Advayam jnanam, advaya is same family grammatically as advaita. You know what advaita means? Non-dual, yes. So advaya jnana. So the Bhagavatam says Advaya Jnana is the subject of the Bhagavatam. It's understood by the sages to be the absolute truth. And it's understood in three ways, with three terms. Brahma, Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. We're familiar with that, but mostly we're not aware that it's Advaya Jnana which is being spoken of. Non-dual knowledge. So, the Bhagavatam is, we also subscribe to non-dualism, but that's only half the story. And we have a saying in English that to tell half a truth is worse than a lie. And so the Bhagavatam is telling non-dual ultimate truth, but if we go to the Chatur Shloki verses in Canto 2, Chapter 9, we see immediately that what's being told about is an absolute truth, which is, although the term is not there, it is inconceivably, simultaneously, one and multiple. One and different. Well, we've already come to our end for today. I see it's 4 o'clock. I should have given some time for discussion. I'm sorry. We can do that tomorrow for whoever whoever likes to come tomorrow. I don't know what time the schedule is, but I think we're scheduled for some more tomorrow. So if having taken some prasadam tomorrow, you're ready for more of this, you're welcome. Welcome to come. And hear what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says further to these now very submissive Mayavadi sannyasis. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Shri Shri Lakshmi Prahlad Narsingadeva ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Well, yeah, that's certainly.